Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, be multiplied unto you, now and forever. Amen. I've just been thinking about how I should start this morning, and Pastor Jesse came up to me this morning about 10 minutes before the service, and he says, "You got this?" Nope. And he said, "Good." We remember, and it is very hard in the position that Pastor Jesse and I hold, that it is not us speaking at these times. It is God who is working through us for you. And when it comes to getting up and speaking on a Sunday or leading a youth rally or doing a youth group or in a Bible study, whatever it may be, it is a struggle that we would ask that all of you would pray for us. That we would be shut down. That God would speak through us in everything that we do. That is just one of those things that is very difficult for a pastor. To remember that we are not leading, but God is leading through us. Our sermon text for this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. Luke 15, 1 through 10. I'd ask, as you are able, to please stand for the reading of the Gospel. Again, we read as follows in the name of our Lord. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And he spake this parable unto them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons, which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she loses one piece, doth not light a candle, and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece that which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word. We ask that you would open this word up to us, that we would all be strengthened through it, that your glory may come forth through it. In your Son's name, amen. Now this text is coming right after last week's text, and it's talking about, and last week they talked about the cost of discipleship and how devoted a man must be to serve God. And this week it talks about what happens in that service. We start off with Jesus receiving the sinners and the publicans. The publicans were tax collectors, and generally everyone thought they were horrible people, just like most of us think the IRS is horrible. Even though they pay for all of our bridges and roads and all that good stuff, all the stuff that we don't want to pay for. But back then, these men were bad people. These sinners and publicans, tax collectors, all these horrible people were being received by Jesus. And when we look at this and hear "received," it's kind of a loose term. And we have a receiving line at the end of every service on Sunday. That's actually probably the best way to look at it. As pastors, we stand there and we greet everyone that we possibly can. We greet them with love. Sometimes for us, it's kind of hard to remember names, but we remember faces. And we love all of you. This is what Jesus was doing. He was receiving them. He was interacting with them. He wasn't shunning them. He wasn't chasing them away. These people that the Pharisees and scribes think are horrible people, Jesus was greeting them with love, attempting to take care of everything that they need. And of course, Jesus being Jesus, he hears the Pharisees and scribes murmuring, talking about how bad it is that he receives these sinners and eats with them, that he spends time with them. Now, if we can't spend time with a sinner, most of us are going to be pretty lonely. If we can't show love to everyone around us that is a sinner, unless we are looked upon as being a bad person, if we can't show that love, if we can't receive that person, if we can't spend time with them, how are we going to reach out to them? And Jesus tells a couple of parables. And the first one is dealing with one of my favorite subjects, farming. What man of you who has 100 sheep, if he lose one sheep, would not search for that sheep? Would not go out and spend all of your time trying to find that sheep? And I can tell you personally that I've done this. Because sheep tend to stray. And when they stray, they do like most of us. When someone comes to help us, they run. Now, this may be an insult to some of you, but I'm putting myself in this category also. There's a reason why Jesus and God compare us to sheep so many times. Because sheep aren't very smart. When someone reaches out to them to help them, unless it is someone that they have known for their entire lives, most often they're going to run. And quite often, even if it is someone that they have known for their entire lives, if they're in a different environment, they're going to run. Just like we do when someone reaches out to us to help us. How many times do we sit and try to figure everything out on our own, and if somebody tries to come help us, we don't want their help? We take that constructive criticism that is given to us. It's hard to do. When a brother in Christ comes to you and tells you, this could be better for this reason, and even though it is a very good reason, and it could be better, it's quite often very hard to swallow that, to take it in, to realize that, yes, they are trying to help us. Just like a sheep. If you've got 100 sheep and you walk out there with a pail of grain, You'll all but get run over, and sometimes you will get run over. And if there's just one sheep that has strayed from the flock, it's out there alone, it's scared. You bring a pail of feed out there, and you're going to have a hard time getting it to come to you. That's where the shepherd is at. He is searching and searching, doing everything he can to get that sheep back. And he finally catches it. It doesn't say he leads that sheep back. He picks that sheep up and throws it on his shoulders. Carries it back to the flock. Just the way we are. When Jesus finds a sinner, when God finds a sinner, he takes care of everything. He picks that man up and carries him. Just like the shepherd picks that sheep up and carries it. And when you catch that sheep, it's going to fight and struggle for a little bit. And then it's going to realize the comfort that it is being given. And that sheep will relax. We'll realize that the shepherd is taking care of it. And quite often, we'll actually kind of cuddle into you. Just the way we do with Jesus. Now that man finds that sheep. And he is so happy. He goes back into town and gathers all of his friends together. And they have a celebration. Because that sheep that was lost was found. Now even today, when someone loses a sheep, their first instinct is to think that that sheep is dead. The predators that are out there, a sheep can easily be killed. It is a hard time for a shepherd. When a sinner is lost, our shepherd searches that hard for him. And Jesus says, I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons, which need no repentance. That one sinner, anyone who is listening to this, anyone who hasn't come to that true repentance, turn towards God. God is searching for you like that. And then we see there's 99. They're not celebrated like that. They don't need repentance. But at one time they did. We see this and say, well, what about those 99? What about those people that have already repented? Their celebration has happened. That joy of coming back into the flock for that sheep has already happened. To those of you who have repented and come to Christ, to come to that full knowledge of what he has done for us, to turn away from sin, that celebration has happened. But we're still sheep. We still want more people in our flock. And now we come to the second parable. Now what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she loses one, would not light her lamp, sweep her entire house until she finds that one coin? And when she finds that coin, call her friends together and celebrate. Now today, you're not really going to understand, for most of us, the joy that she would feel in finding that. This coin, most people in this parable, they think it represents a drachma. Now what is a drachma? It's equivalent to a denarius. Now what is a denarius? It's about a day's wages. Now you think about that. It would be equivalent to working for a full day and losing that paycheck. How hard would you search for that paycheck? You'd tear your whole house upside down. That's probably a couple months ago now, I actually lost my wallet. And for most of you that know me, you probably think that happens quite often, but it doesn't. And I was having a hard time with that. Having a very hard time with that. I actually called to Walmart to see if I had dropped it there. I called up to Louis Superfoods in Calumet to see if I had dropped it there. Searched all over at Lottie. Tore my house upside down, searched all of my vehicles. There's only two of us that can drive, but we have three vehicles for some reason. And then about 10 o'clock at night, after fretting and worrying, being so stressed about it, I finally just went, you know, God will take care of it. And that was after about 12 hours of being insane. And the next morning I went into my car and I grabbed my jacket that I thought I hadn't worn since last winter. And remembered that I wore it that morning and stuck my wallet in it. And I had told Jesse about it, and I had told Cheryl about it. I had told other people about it. And I had to tell them that I found it. I was happy. Don't have to go get a new license. Don't have to get all my cards taken care of. And there wasn't any cash in it, just because I don't have any cash. But I was happy that I found that. That is how hard Jesus searches for the sinner. And we have the opportunity to help in that search. For every one of us, when we have come to that knowledge, come to that joy, we want to spread it to everyone that we see. It may be the person sitting next to you. It may be your coworker. It may be a kid that comes to visit you every once in a while. But to realize that joy that is found, we don't have a choice but to spread it. We understand the joy. We understand the search. Because we are part of that search. and we search for everyone. Because in quite a few cases, even the people that are sitting here today, we have doubts. I have doubts. There's so many times when we wonder, what is this all about? We wonder, why are we doing this? And one of our brothers or sisters in Christ comes to us, and in a simple act of mercy, a simple act of kindness, and most often they have no idea why they're doing it. They come to us like Pastor Jesse did this morning, and put us at ease. Help us to remember what Christ did for us on the cross. Those little things that happen for us. And who knows, someday you may get to see the big thing happen for someone. You may get to see a person come to true repentance, come to a life for Christ. And I know when I came to that day, no one saw it because it came over the phone for me. Three simple words. Jesus loves you. And I was so mad because I didn't deserve it. I threw down my phone and I burst into tears. And I was so happy because I didn't deserve it. Back to the beginning of this portion of Scripture when Jesus is receiving and eating with the sinners. There is no other way to reach out than to be around sinners. If you can't be around sinners, then you can't reach out to them. We could stay in this building all week, and granted, there may be a few in here that do need to receive it, do need to realize what that gift is for us. But how hard is it going to be for us to get someone from outside? How hard is it going to be for us to spread that gospel message to other people in this world? I'm not saying we go and participate in what they're doing. I'm saying we spread the gospel, the good news, that Jesus Christ has died for their sins. That they are saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. Gracious, merciful Father, we thank you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the word that you have given to us. We thank you for the ability to receive that word. Father, we ask that you would bring that word into our hearts and into our minds, that we would be better prepared to serve you. Father, we ask that you would continually remind us in those opportunities that you give us, that we can serve in many different capacities, that in so many ways we can reach out for your lost souls. Father, we ask that you would continue to guide us and bring everyone closer to you. For your name's sake, amen. Humble your hearts and receive the Lord's benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.